Happy Valentine's Day. Markets have feelings too, and they're not good. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The president of the St. Louis Fed, James Bullard, had stocks spiraling last week. He said he would support a 0.5% increase in interest rates at the Fed's meeting next month, and he's sticking to it. This morning on CNBC, Bullard said the Federal Reserve is now dealing with inflation numbers that even former Fed Chair Alan Greenspan never saw. And the Fed just has to hike rates to cool off the economy and beat back inflation.
Our credibility is on the line here, and we do have to react to data. However, I think we can do it in a way that's organized and not disruptive to markets.
Markets fell as Bullard talked. They do not like interest rate hikes. It undercuts the value of stocks. When he was asked about that, he said basically he's just telling it like it is and always tries to be a straight shooter. Julia Coronado is founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. She says not all Fed board members are on the same page.
His comments were actually a slightly toned down version of what he said last week, which really roiled markets, suggesting that the Fed could raise rates 100 basis points by July. He is repeating that, but also saying that they're going to be sort of methodical or careful about it. You know, he's one voice on the committee. We also heard from San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly over the weekend saying she prefers to move in sort of 25 basis points steady increments at each of the Fed's meetings, which would mean a slower pace of rate hikes. I think the direction of travel is clear. But markets are very focused on not only what the Fed does in the near term, but what does that mean for what they do after that? If they go 50 basis points in March, will they do another 50 basis point rate hike in May? So it adds to the uncertainty that markets are trying to sort through.
Inflation is now higher than it has been in 40 years, and that has got consumers feeling down. University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index is at the lowest it has been in a decade, and that is because, as many may have noticed, inflation means our paychecks do not go as far as they used to. At the same time, though, wages have been going up. The question is, are they keeping up with inflation? And the answer is so far no. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Average hourly earnings for all workers were up 5.7% in the past year. So the current 7.5% price inflation is eating away at the purchasing power of Americans' paychecks. But the picture's different for different kinds of workers, says Claudia Somm at the Jane Family Institute.
Where we see some of the biggest wage gains are at the bottom.
Wages are up almost 7% for production and non-supervisory workers. Workers in warehousing and leisure and hospitality have seen wage hikes of 9 and 15%, respectively, significantly outpacing price inflation. Nonetheless, financial distress is increasing among low-income workers, says John Lear at polling firm Morning Consult.
More job instability, and they're also faced with rising prices for a larger share of their total spending.
With basic necessities like groceries, utilities, and rent eating up almost all their monthly income. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Speaking of wages, federal workers may be in store for a hefty pay bump. Federal News Network is reporting the president's next budget request may include a 4.6% pay increase for federal employees. If that happens, it would be the biggest raise they've seen since the second Bush administration. When Congress funded a new emergency housing voucher program last year, the idea was to get unhoused people into permanent housing quickly. It was part of the federal government's pandemic response. But now, months into the program, just under 15% of the newly available vouchers have actually been used. Nina Sparling of the Publix Radio brings us an update on the program from Rhode Island.
Dale Bonanno has been homeless on and off in Providence for about 20 years. So when he got an emergency housing voucher last fall, he saw a path forward.
It's security. It's having just the knowledge and the security that I have a place to go to.
Bonanno got one of about 70,000 new vouchers the Department of Housing and Urban Development distributed nationwide last summer, a $5 billion investment in subsidized housing. But across the country, Bonanno and others have faced a huge challenge, actually using the voucher in hot rental markets.
It's almost like having a winning Powerball ticket and you can't get to where you need to go to cash in your ticket. There's no one to give it to.
That's Karen Roy with Crossroads Rhode Island, one of the largest shelter systems in the state. And she says the voucher program has helped some people.
So the fact that they're issuing out these vouchers is the greatest news.
But in Rhode Island, HUD says most of the vouchers still haven't been used. In part, that's because the voucher only covers a certain amount of rent, and many apartments are simply too expensive. Bonanno says he came up against more than just the cost.
Everybody wants, like, you make like 4 or 5 times what the rent amount is, and like a 700 credit score and no criminal history.
Bonanno has a criminal record, and he doesn't have the credit score or monthly income many landlords ask for. Keith Fernandez is the founder of a landlord group called the Rhode Island Coalition of Housing Providers.
I think landlords have become more cautious.
He says landlords have adopted stricter requirements for tenants during the pandemic as a way to reduce risk. Bonanno says he sifted through at least 100 listings before he finally found a landlord willing to work with him.
I feel like it's given me an opportunity to start life over in a way, you know?
He just moved into his apartment, where he hopes to find a fresh start. In Rhode Island, I'm Nina Sparling for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.